going on, Canuck Central? It's Stan Riccio, Santiar Shaw, here in the Kintech studio. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by BC Liquor. Until April 26th, get $5 off Don Apollo Malbec or $3 off Nutra Vodka Soda Lime 12-packs. Visit your nearest BC Liquor location today. Enjoy responsibly. Update on the out-of-town scoreboard. The Minnesota Wild up against the San Jose Sharks. And it is currently goalless midway through the first period. The Minnesota Wild getting back Joel Eriksson Ek and Kirill Kaprizov for this game.
How badly does Mackin and Celebrini want to see the Canucks in the playoffs?
Yeah, as one of our texters said earlier, and I'm sorry that I can't find the text right now, but man, didn't have Mackin and Celebrini playing important games for the Canucks in April this year.
Yeah.
My bingo card.
Yeah, you know,
but here we are.
It's just an appetizer for the games he's going to play for the Canucks in, what, 7 years?
Yeah. When he gets the free agency and eventually signs with the Canucks. But, you know, Mackin, if you want to score 12 points tonight, tonight would be the time.
Yeah.
You know? Just wrestle back the Calder Trophy from Lane Hutson and score 12 points. You know, beat Daryl Sittler's record. All right. It's an overrated, underrated Wednesday. Hit the music. Overrated, underrated, or on the off chance, perfectly rated. You give us the topic. We decide if they are one of those three things, such as protein mug cake.
Mm. Protein mug cake.
Yeah, I made one last night. It was great. Great, like, late night snack.
Reach, like, I don't... You're like the experimental chef.
This
like,
is what I'm saying.
It's always something. It's like some TikTok recipe he came up with. Like he makes his own ice cream. He makes his own coffee. Like what else do you do?
You know.
Do you make your own hummus as well?
No, I haven't.
Apparently it's very straightforward.
Is it?
Yeah, I've heard.
Just with the chickpeas and...
Chickpeas and like, you know, obviously some salt, some lemon juice and a couple other things. But like, yeah, it's not that difficult to do apparently.
Are chickpeas and garbanzo beans the same thing?
You tell me. Yeah. Garbanzo sounds Italian.
Garbanzo.
Yeah, when you say it like that. Every day I come in, though, Reach is like, I tried this new protein blank last night.
It's always something new.
Yeah.
Got to get a way to get my protein in, man.
It's either that or returning produce
to
the grocery store.
Yeah, that was the time. Josh, right. You okay?
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Did something just happen?
Something happened?
Yeah, something that just happened. Like San Jose Sharks up 1-0 against the Wild.
Ah!
Don't say anything. Dan, don't say anything.
What? Tyler Toffoli scored.
Yes, he did.
Tyler Toffoli scored.
Shush it, Reach.
That's what happened.
Yeah, okay, good. Just keep... That's it. Nothing else out of you tonight about the San Jose Sharks.
I'm not saying anything.
The first
Dan Jinxio, overrated or underrated?
Underrated.
Yeah, the powers are pretty impressive. All right.
We'll start with this one from Woodrow. Oh, I hear it now. The obligation of the Canucks captaincy, overrated or underrated?
Josh's voice has just slowly deteriorated as the day has gone on. The obligation of the Canucks captaincy, underrated. Quinn Hughes very much feels obligated as the Canucks captain. If you read the piece up at sportsnet.ca with Ian McIntyre. And hey, like I appreciate that. There is some romance to it because ultimately, like, I don't know, like, does the captaincy still mean what it used to mean in the NHL compared to what it was 40 years ago? Like, hey, yeah, that's one of the guys that is allowed to talk to the referees or one of those types of things.
Yeah.
But, you know, to Quinn Hughes, it still means something. It really connects him to the city. It connects him to the organization and the way he speaks about it. Obviously, having the C on his jersey means something to him.
It feels like a marriage. He's obligated.
Yes.
He's got to see it through.
Till death do your part.
He's been trapped.
I know Mike the urologist texted in earlier and said, ha! They trapped him!
Shamed him into staying. Come on, Quinn. You promised us.
Yes.
Your vows to us.
Underrated.
What happened, Quinn?
Yeah. Giving Quinn Hughes the captaincy. Underrated.
Yeah.
Sickness and health.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're in sickness. You're going to leave us in sickness?
Yeah. Mike, the urologist, making decisions about long-term roster construction based on performances in the back end of a season.
That sounds like something that would be overrated to
yes,
me.
It is overrated. And I think that's what we've been kind of cautioning some of that too. Now, we all remember Brendan Leipzig being red hot. Jussi Jokinen. Remember Jussi Jokinen dominating down a stretch for the Canucks? He was out of the league afterwards.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He like vaulted them up like five draft spots.
Yeah, I think so.
Brett
he won
Laurie.
Like four games. Brett Laurie. That was one
Brett
year.
Brett Laurie had like an unbelievable half season with the Blue Jays.
He did.
That
he
rookie
did.
Half season was like incredible.
Davis Schneider.
Yep. There you go. It's also very apt right now. Does he have a hit yet this season? Maybe. Maybe not. Two walks. Good for him. It's definitely overrated. You know, like Aturatu has looked good. If you extrapolate his 7 goals in 29 games to a full 82, that is a 19 goal pace. Great. I'm not sure it's changing my idea of how I want to build the Canucks roster next year.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. Like you run into more trouble, I think, valuing these final games than undervaluing them. So I'd say overrated. Don't overrate or overvalue what happens over the final, 15, 20 games. And that even applies to Suter, who has 19 points in 20 games.
Yeah.
He's been terrific. I love what I'm seeing from Suter. And there are a lot of arguments to keep him. But it's like a 20-game stretch.
Yeah.
25-game stretch when a season ends. And how much is that going to inform or how much is that going to drive his place on this team, right? You got to be careful with that.
Next one, speaking of that, from Jay, Aturatu as next season third line center.
Yeah. I think him as a third line center is overrated. Him as fourth line center, underrated. It's just, so when you look at jumps guys have to make, right? It's one thing to go from being a guy who's a tweener to being an NHL player. It's another to go from being a guy who's been up and down, right? Been an extra forward and through injuries getting an opportunity. Just play every day.
Yeah.
I think it's overrated to think he's going to be a third line center. He still has areas he has to improve on and he has to gain experience. And I think him as a third line center next year might be asking too much, but maybe starts as a fourth line center and as the season progresses, he can graduate to that at some point. That to me is more likely than banking on him out of the gate to come in and be your third line center. He has to make the team first next year.
Yeah, he's still not even a lock to make the team. There's a lot to like with Ratu. And I get it. Like, could you pencil in him and Bluger to be your bottom six guys? Maybe that's the better way of looking at it rather than saying, hey, he's going to be your third line center with a bullet. But he's got to earn that. The lower you can put him in the lineup and force him to earn his way up the lineup, the better that situation is in my estimation. Yeah.
Update from out of town. It's 1-1. Ah. Marcus Johansson scored.
Yeah, I just thought of the goal too. Georgi Gorgiev got a piece of it. Should have saved it. He's playing in net, so that's a little problematic.
Can't put a lot of faith in Georgiev.
Yeah, no, he's struggling.
Just as an aside, do you guys ever think Anthony Santander will hit a home run again? Or
okay, have you looked at his splits in previous seasons?
He's a slow starter.
He's not very good in April and May.
Yeah, he'll be fine afterwards.
Mid-May, late May, he picks it up.
It's such a long baseball season. Like, it's all this stuff early in the first. Everything in April is overrated.
Yeah.
The only time it's not overrated is if you're like 10 games under 500 through May.
Yeah.
As long as you're 500, you're fine.
Josh, you guys talked about Aturatu on Canucks Brunch today, did you not?
We did.
What are the promising underlyings that are telling us good things about Aturatu?
Well, since he's been recalled, he's, despite having like more defensive zone starts and all of that, he's being trusted with defensive zone starts. He's also putting up decent numbers even with that. Both on the underlines, and he has 5 goals in, the 8 games since he's been recalled, right?
So yeah.
He's producing.
Yeah.
And he's one of few guys you can trust to consistently win a faceoff to. I think he's only been under 50% on faceoffs in one game, and that was last night since he's been recalled. So he's been good.
There's a lot of things to like about him, for sure. I just pumped the brakes on anointing him the third line center today.
Next one comes from Jake. Connor Garland playing on the second line full-time next season.
An inevitability?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you bring Suter back, I could see Suter and Garland being a duo somewhere in your middle six.
Or Joshua and Garland on your third line.
Yeah. Like, if you bring Suter back, the problem is the price keeps going up. But, like, I could see Suter, Joshua, Garland being your third line.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really have to fill out what that second line is going to look like with an entirely new duo that just does not exist on the Vancouver Canucks and in the organization right now. Right?
No, it just doesn't. Like their big thing is they lack duos.
Yeah.
And even the Joshua Garland duo.
Like, I'd love for that to be your third line duo. I think it's more of the Suter Garland.
Yeah, if they bring Suter back, which is a big if. But I think the thing with Garland is you can even put Bluger between Garland and Joshua and probably be decent as long as Joshua finds his game.
Yeah.
I don't think you're contending for a cup as that is your third line center. But I'm saying, like, because of how Garland plays, I think his best spot on this team long term, if he's staying here, is third line, which makes you kind of wonder how much can you commit.
Yeah,
for a guy who's going to be 30, who's already making five, and is best suited to run his own line on your third line on a contender. And he's had a really good year. And last night, the Canucks don't come back if it's not for Connor Garland's playmaking.
Yeah,
right. Like he was terrific in that game. He's been
and
terrific.
That celebration.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, dude, like he jumped like 5 feet in the air. That was great.
But I like overrated. I don't think. Like, I like Garland, but I think, you know, he needs to be on your third line if you're really serious about contending.
As good as he's been this year, and he's been terrific, right? Like, we're not talking about a player who's scoring, like, 60-plus points, and he's playing power play time. Like, this year, he's played 77 games, 19 goals, 48 points. Good production.
He's played more minutes, but his production hasn't gone up with those extra minutes.
No, and he's playing a lot of power play one time,
yeah,
too, so he's getting the special teams time. And that's, to me, that's a really good third line player for a contending team as opposed to being like the guy on the second line.
Next one comes from Chef Swagger. Martin Brodeur's NHL record for most career wins. Overrated or underrated?
Never being broken. It is underrated.
Sherwood?
Like it's like the 60 remaining Gretzky records. It's not being broken.
What isn't? Well, what was it? Which record?
Martin Brodeur's wins record.
Yeah, it's probably not being broken. I mean, Brodeur played like 78 games one year, I think.
Yeah, that was crazy. And the closest...
Who's getting to 691 wins?
Who's getting to 600? Because the closest is Fleury, and he's at 573.
Yeah, it's just not happening.
It's just not happening. Especially with goalie usage these days. A guy would have to start in the league. You'd have to pull the Dan Blackburn or something like that and play when you're like 18 or 19 as a goalie, which almost never happens.
Dude, he played over 70 games 12 times in his career. He hit 77 games three times, yeah. 78 once, and everything else was like a low to mid-70s.
And he stole the Vezina from Roberto Luongo in 2007.
Yeah, because he broke an NHL record for wins.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean,
it's still a team stat, but yes.
Luongo was a better goalie that year. But the save percentage was pretty similar. It's hard to like not give the guy who broke the NHL wins record,
yeah,
the Vezina, and that's what happened, even though...
And he had 12 shutouts that year,
yeah,
too.
It was nuts. Like, he was really good, but he wasn't facing what Luongo was
facing. The environment was a little bit different.
Very different.
New Jersey than it was in Vancouver that year.
But still, when you start 78 games and win 48 of them.
Mm-hmm. Underrated.
So, not to catch Brodeur, but to maybe get to, like, make the argument to get to 600 or close to it. Andre Vasilevsky is at 330,
mm-hmm,
and he is 30 years old right now. Could he get close?
He can get to 500. It's 170 wins.
So, you give him... So
that would be half of what he has.
30 so wins for seven more years is 210. That gets you to how much? How many does he have now?
It doesn't even get you to 550.
330 is like you said 540.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you can't. Yeah, but that's like the only guy who I look at. And I'm like, well,
and the Lightning might be bad in a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably have to play into his late.
He'd have to play beyond this current
and
contract.
Be a starter. He had to be a starter into his late 30s to do that.
Yeah. He'd have to have the flower career.
Yeah, I mean, he's had 44 wins once. He's never had, I mean, outside of his third year with 50 starts, but since being like a, you know, full-time big game starter, he's never won fewer than 30 games.
Yeah.
So if he does 35 per year for the next 7 years, you get a bit closer. Maybe that happens.
Hellebuck is at 319. So similarly, yeah, you're probably not getting there.
Yeah. I mean, he could.
He's got another 6 years left on his deal, I think.
Yeah, he needs to, for the next 7 years, he needs to win about 38 games per year on average to get there.
to get to 500.
Yeah. Or 600.
You're not even, like,
600. If you do 600.
You're barely, and then you're still 100 wins. You're still three seasons or two and a half seasons worth of wins away from Broder's record.
Nobody's catching that.
Yeah, he has 330 right now. Yeah, even if he wins 38 for the next seven, he gets to 596.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be tough.
Next one from Basketball Phil. The trend of firing your head coach right before the playoffs start in the NBA.
What I want to know is, did a bunch of basketball execs read like a Lou Lamoriello biography or something like that? Because this was the ultimate Lou Lamoriello play. Didn't he do this a couple of times? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? I'm firing the coach. I'm going behind the bench for the playoffs. It was classic Lou move with the Devils for a few years. It's a weird trend to do it right before the playoffs. Like, what are you getting out of this? I think it's overrated. To me, it's overrated.
Yeah.
Like, I get why they did the move, especially with your Denver Nuggets there, Josh, but, ultimately I don't think it's going to have the desired effect. Like, you're going to find lightning in a bottle because you changed the head coach here right before the start of the playoffs.
I mean, so the Devils did something like this, right?
Yeah.
When they went on to win the cup.
It was a classic Lou move.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's happened. There's precedent for it. But you just mentioned it was a classic Lou move, as in the general manager was in charge.
Yes.
In this situation, they got rid of the general manager and the head coach.
Yeah.
GM sucked, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But it's just, yeah. You know, I just don't know how it's going to work out for them this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good. I would have just waited if I were them.
Or just get rid of the GM and just keep the coach for the rest of the year and then go after. You know, if you want to shake something up. But it's one of those things that if you feel like the coach lost a room, do they feel like that was a point of no return?
Yeah.
I mean, I just hope that they got Jokic's blessing for this. That's all.
Hopefully.
Lou fired Claude Julien in that 2007 year right before the playoffs started.
Yeah, right. I thought it was right before the playoffs.
Right. The Berdur season we were just talking about.
Yeah.
that year they fired the coach right before the playoffs started. And Lou went behind the bench himself.
Next one.
They do stuff like that every once in a while, you know?
Next one from Tyler. Cereal for dessert. Overrated or underrated?
Cereal for dessert. No, it's weird.
Wow. Okay.
So it depends. Okay. So if you have, I know Bic doesn't like it, but like Lucky Charms or cinnamon,
like a toasted crunch cereal.
Yeah. Or like I have, what are they called? Like the Kashi cereal.
The Goline cereal. Yeah.
The Goline. I get the one with chocolate.
And so like, it's a treat for you.
Yeah. For me, that's a treat. So like every once in a while,
I use that cereal as if it's like granola. I put it on my yogurt.
Oh, that's not bad. But that's what I do. I do almond milk and the chocolate, and I add a little banana to it, and that's like my chocolate banana, you know, dessert. So yeah, it depends on if you have a sugary cereal or like sweet cereal, then it would be dessert like.
Golden Grahams.
Sat saying Kashi cereal is a treat for him is the most sat thing.
Dude, you got to see me. I'm not, you know. But, you know, I get healthier stuff.
I'd be like Reese's Puffs.
Yeah, see, I don't get stuff like that. See, I'll go out if we go out and we eat. That's one thing. But stuff at home, I keep that stuff healthy as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then when you go out, you can indulge. If you're out doing stuff, it's like you don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Cereal
this Mobland
dessert,
show
though,
looks really good.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry.
You're getting distracted.
Yeah.
We're just trying to find things to watch.
Speaking of shows, though, Andre, the White Lotus Season 3 finale, overrated or underrated?
Man, so I've been like thinking about it quite a bit.
Okay, so we should also say, hey,
No spoilers. And we'll be careful with how we say it. And if you don't want to listen to this part, you can just fast forward through it. It might be towards the end of it anyways.
Yeah.
I think I liked it.
It's a great exercise in building suspense. I say
yeah.
That.
There
were times of the finale I was like, all right, get to it already. Like, what are we doing here?
It was like an hour and 20 minute finale too. It was like a movie almost. Yeah.
It was basically a movie.
Yeah.
I do think I saw a lot of hate for it. I think it's underrated because of that.
Yeah. I get it though. Cause I thought like I'll just say for those who haven't seen it, the family.
Yeah.
I wanted more detail.
Mm.
I didn't get enough.
Yeah,
I didn't feel satisfied, even though I know what they're alluding to. I know what probably happened. I know all that. Like, I wanted a bit more. But I wonder if that's going to be something that they shine light on in another season.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've kind of always had characters from previous seasons intertwined through the show, right?
I need more of Miss Ratliff.
You need more of her?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tim, have you seen my lorazepam?
Piper, no.
Piper,
tsunami.
No.
Buddhism. No. No.
You want to move to Taiwan?
It's like Taiwan. We're in Thailand.
Piper, no. Piper.
Yeah there was.
She was perfect. Her character was so repulsive, yet so perfect at the same time.
It's one of those shows. You're right. But that's kind of the show, because there are moments of the show that's really repulsive. Yeah. And you're like, why am I watching this? And there's moments that are just like so poignant at the same time. But it's also very cynical.
Yeah.
Like, I do think it mirrors life in many ways.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very much so.
You know? But there's certain things like, I mean, that one scene.
Yeah, it's very, too much.
Mm-mm. But the Sam Rockwell scene might be an all-time scene. I've watched that scene over again.
Like, if you were to explain White Lotus to somebody without, like...
That scene.
Like, what makes, like, White Lotus so good? I don't know. It's just about, like, rich people in, like, these fancy resorts and nothing really happens, but, like, then a bunch of people die. You know,
just watch it.
Just watch it.
Jam Pro, from the boardroom to the break room and everywhere in between. Jam Pro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by BC Liquor. Until April 26th, save $3 on Molson Canadian 24 packs, or save the classic flavor of 40 Creek Barrel Select Whiskey with $2 off. Visit your nearest BC Liquor today. Enjoy responsibly. Back tomorrow. We'll lead you into the Colorado Avalanche game, and we'll be watching to see if the Canucks get that E next to their name tonight. The Minnesota Wild have just taken a 2-1 lead on the San Jose Sharks.
Boo!
At the end of one period.
Boo!
Canucks' tragic number, for now, remains at 2. Talk to you tomorrow on Canuck Central. I thought he was dead. By God! I thought he was dead!
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.